Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
Really? What was that? Say it again. Three times.
EWR Digital. EWR Digital. EWR Digital. Or Digital.
That was fantastic. My name is Matt Bertram. I will slur my words maybe today too. I don't know. But I am a digital strategist here, and we are running some really fun campaigns. We just got recognized for multiple, omni-channel campaigns. So I'm really liking the work we're putting out. We're hiring, really excited about the team that we're building and what we're doing over here. So yeah.
Is that the AMA? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. American Marketing Association.
You can see those here.
Yes. Yes. We have significantly more of them that will just completely cover your head. So
we'll be talking AMA heads. Is that eventually what's going to happen?
I think we can explore that. I think that we need to do a ideation session and whiteboard that out. So
just put our hair on the respective globes. Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of the podcast. This is podcast number 538. We've got a great article, tips for top performing brand awareness campaigns on Facebook ads. We've got some interesting things to say about this. In fact, Matt and I debated because in some sense, for kind of smaller and some mid-sized businesses, really brand awareness is not our recommendation, but we're going to talk about that. And when you get into bigger campaigns, when you get into bigger enterprises, these brand awarenesses campaigns are good. And also, we don't touch Facebook very often. Like we kind of let people know we are doing Facebook, and we'll talk about all of that. Before we get started, I didn't find any reviews, so we're going to ask you to do us one small favor and go leave us a review. You get good information, good content out of this podcast. Please go to ewrdigital.com/review. A little pop-up will pop up there and leave us a 5-star review and we will read it.
That's the $200,000 in Facebook spending that we do every month, I know is not a lot in your eyes, but I think in some people's eyes, that's a decent amount.
Yeah.
No. I mean, certainly like not to AdWords or something like that, But Facebook certainly has its place. I think that a lot of the other social platforms, if you look even in the data, TikTok is now the highest searched social platform over Facebook. So it's overtaken Facebook and YouTube and that sort of thing. And there's a lot of great like organic traffic and brand awareness that you can get there. But again, it's like what demographic you target. LinkedIn has really great targeting. A little bit more expensive ads, but organically too. They're really, it's like where Facebook was maybe a couple years ago before they really clamped down on it. But I think that Facebook, still everybody still gets on Facebook, right? Like even though it's maybe not their preferred platform, they still get on it. It's a great way to reach people. The machine learning's fantastic. So I think Facebook should be part of not every campaign, but really after you establish like your core, Facebook is somewhere you should be thinking about, especially for like retargeting, right? Retargeting, remarketing, right?
That's almost not optional, right? Like, should I do retargeting? You know, after I smack you in the face for asking the question in general, then we go, yes, you should be doing retargeting because that's the best possible money you can spend. And for those out there who aren't necessarily aware, that is when somebody has visited your website and then they're back on Facebook, showing them links and ads related to your business after they visited the website. And you want to do this on Google as well. That's remarketing. That is by far the best possible money you could spend. In a sense, the visitor has already raised their hand and expressed some interest in your business. Now's your time to like keep in front of them, keep top of mind.
And that's something that we actually recommend like everyone to do, right? Like yeah. as soon as you get like 100 people coming to your website, or, you know, a little bit more, maybe 100 to 300 people coming to your website, you should be doing retargeting. And really, you know, Facebook is good. Now, here's something super interesting. This is like a little pro tip. If you're still working on the SEO component and you're really not, well, you should be doing remarketing, right? Like when you kind of hit that threshold. But the Facebook pixel, what we've been finding, for whatever reason, it's really loading slow. And if you pull it off the website, the websites will speed up quite a bit. So there's, you know, I don't know what Facebook's working on, if their server's getting overloaded or whatever's going on, but that pixel is slowing down websites. So if you're not doing Facebook retargeting, you should take it off your website. Yeah. But in my opinion, you know, people are not going to convert, and the data suggests pretty heavily that people are not typically going to convert the first time they come to your website. So you really need to be doing retargeting, remarketing to bring them back. And Facebook is like foundational. We actually have a product offering, and Facebook is included in every package that we set up. So, so again, like Facebook has its place, and that's what this whole article is about. So that's what I'm excited to get into, is we're going to get to talk through, you know, positioning, right? Upper, middle, lower funnel of maybe how you should be thinking about running these ads. So
yeah, absolutely. Again, top tips for top performing brand awareness campaigns on Facebook ads. This is by Sean Johnston. Patif to you, Sean Johnston. Just because top funnel campaigns don't always drive leads and sales as efficiently or directly doesn't mean that they aren't a vital part of any balanced digital marketing strategy. The strategic role of brand awareness, and he shows the what is the funnel, AIDS, right?
Awareness. AIDA, yeah. I'll share it. This one's a little bit different. For those of you watching, let me see if I can.
Yeah, because in this article, it's just a sales funnel that starts at awareness, consideration, and then acquisition. Some will debate that there's at least another piece in there. And in the easiest strategic terms, brand awareness campaigns aim to introduce your target audience to your brand. That's the one that's in this article that Matt has pulled up: awareness, consideration, and acquisition. This is accomplished by running introductory and memorable creative to a broad audience. Think of a funnel in stages the way you would dating. And this is an interesting comparison. You can run conversion campaigns exclusively, but it's the marketing equivalent of walking up to someone and asking them to go out with you. No introduction, no discussion, right in for the sale. Sure, it can work. Like if there's an individual who's like single and looking to date immediately, yeah, that can work. But your chances are of successful closing the deal are higher if you introduce yourself, if you break down some of those initial barriers. You still want to do this even when people visit, right? So that again goes back to remarketing. This is my own note. When people visit, you want to remarket to those people. You want to continue the conversation. Yeah.
Oh, I just, there's really nothing of value that I'm going to add to this, but I felt like there's a lot of like side conversation that I could have taken, that dating conversation with you, Chris, where we could definitely banter about certain things, and I have questions for you, all this stuff, but it's really of no value for the people that want to learn how to do digital marketing.
Is that so the other podcast we're going to start?
Yeah, we're going to branch off a few of these things. There's like, if you want to hear some of us, other places, in different formats, there's actually, you know, going to be a lot of opportunities to do that. So we'll change up the format. And, Chris and I, we were planning on getting together, having a few drinks tonight, and, you know, we could have done a different format and just, had you be a fly on the wall, because every conversation Chris and I have goes 10,000 different directions. Usually we never really finish any one of those conversations. We end the night like, no, we have not moved anywhere, but yet it's was amazing. It was an amazing time. Yeah. And we're like, we need to do this again soon.
Yeah.
I walk away thoroughly, thoroughly just, you know,
energized,
fulfilled, energized. So I, Very much enjoy your company, Chris.
Yeah, same here. I think we could have easily folded in, although we're both happily married, we could have easily have folded in a conversation about dating and dating strategies and pickup strategies and all sorts of things. Because in reality,
Chris is a closer.
I think there's one guy in this kind of dating ecosphere is Ross Jeffries. And some people like question his integrity, and I'd be happy to debate it with him. But he makes the point that the skills of picking up are the same skills as sales. And in fact, just getting a number, right? It doesn't have to go anywhere, but just to get a number from somebody, whoever you're interested in getting a number from, is a sales process. And you can actually practice that rapid fire and get lots of numbers, whatever you choose to do with them. And that's a really valid point. I don't know.
What about like brand signaling, right? Like, like branding is important too, I guess, right? It's like,
I think there's one phrase called peacocking, right? I don't know if you've ever heard that, which is like having whatever earrings and lots of rings and, you know, clothes that really
the brands. You gotta get the brands.
Yeah. All right. Now the question is, how do you measure your success? In the case we were just talking about, I think it's number of phone numbers collected. In this case, you want to measure brand awareness campaigns the right way. Measuring a sale or lead in digital marketing is really straightforward. But brand awareness success lies in more squishy and less concrete KPIs. So one of them is impressions and reach. You want to serve as many impressions and reach as many people as possible. So that would be some of the metrics that you want to track. Frequency. So how often somebody sees an ad refers to the average number of times a person in your audience has actually seen your ad. And I think you can understand that there can be ad exhaustion, right? So having a number of creatives so that you don't exhaust the audience with one ad. And then in reality, even if it's a variable creatives, you could exhaust your ad.
Yeah, I mean, how we typically set it up is we'll run two ads, we'll A/B test, and we'll find a definitive winner and then try to beat that winner with the new ad. What we're seeing on Facebook specifically is really it's about the frequency in which you reach people, on how quickly, like how big that market is, how many times you're hitting them in a certain period of time to get to that like ad exhaustion. We are seeing a lot of ad exhaustion, and you know, depending on the campaign, sometimes you have to change the ads quite frequently, right? So it really depends on a number of factors, but really thinking about that experience or that customer journey or that sales process, how many times do you want to tell them that same thing over and over again to try to help them move the needle? You might have to have a couple different messages, rotate some things in. Maybe you want them to see one message like the first day or the first week and then change the message. Typically, the rule of thumb is the longer you get away from converting them, like when they're interested, right? That's why you want to call somebody within 7 minutes. You need to get them like in that thought, but the longer you move away, the stronger your offer needs to be to get them to come back. And so it's creating a sequence to do that. And then, you know, hitting them along the customer journey in some different areas, but ad exhaustion on Facebook specifically, that's something they now look for. And you can see when you change out the ads more frequently, your cost per impression or even conversion definitely will go down, right? If you have the messaging on point. So,
absolutely. So the next two things that you might measure would be CPM, cost per thousand impressions. A low CPM is vital to maintaining efficiency and maximizing your ad staying power. And then video engagement. So if your creatives are running in your upper funnel campaign is video, you'll have access to a host of specialty metrics that will help you better understand how your messaging is being consumed. And video is so powerful, not just in this context where you've got extra data and you can understand how much of the video people have watched, but it's really why, Matt, why you decided to create a video division in EWR, right?
Yeah, actually, Ivan's watching right now and said "woohoo" with some high fives. So, we started. I think maybe it was 3 years ago, maybe a little bit beyond 3 years ago. we saw what the data was telling us, and we knew we needed to incorporate video and we needed to bring that in-house. And we've been doing a lot of video since, really improving some conversion rates. But yeah, when you run ads, I'll give you an example. I was running some Twitter ads for a campaign not too long ago, and I was getting really good conversion rates, like, or click-through rates, really. So let's define what a conversion is, or click-through to the website. And I had them at about, I don't know, 18 cents, 13 cents on a lot of these ads. Ran, depends on the video, but I got them down to a penny. So I had conversions at a penny to 3 cents for one video. And then some other videos were like 5 to 7 cents. And that was so much better than a static ad. What we are seeing on Google, right, is like HTML5 ads are doing really well. They have a little bit of movement. On Facebook, typically the videos work the best, and then the carousels work the second best. And then like it just kind of trickles down from there. But videos is a really great way to catch people, to get them interested. Also, even at the bottom of the funnel, fantastic for long form content to really share a complex message and get a conversion. So video is just fantastic to be used throughout your campaigns.
Absolutely. All right. So Facebook and upper funnel campaigns, which objective to choose is the next kind of section. Facebook gives advertisers several options when executing awareness or upper funnel campaigns on the platform. There are a few campaign types. For our purposes, video views are included as an upper funnel objective. So generally speaking, you can't go wrong with selecting either brand awareness, reach, or video views as an objective for an upper funnel campaign. There will be subtle differences between the three regarding the KPIs, which are prioritized, and we're going to cover those right now. So here are the three. Reach. Now, reach, its description is shown to as many people within the audience as possible.
Yeah.
Brand awareness is shown to people within the audience most likely to recall the ad. And you might ask, well, how is Facebook going to know that they're showing it to people who are more likely to recall the ad? We'll talk about that here in a little bit. And then next, video views, shown to people most likely to watch complete the video.
Yeah, that's what I really like, is not just like video views, but how much of the video do they watch, right? And then really looking at the video to determine, are you getting all your messaging up front? Do you need, I mean, write a goal. What is it? I think the number's actually gone down, but in my book, I was using a Microsoft study, and it said that the attention span of a user online is typically 7 seconds, which is equal to that of a goldfish. That was a Microsoft study. I think a recent study came down after that said it's even down from there. So if you're running a 30-second video or a minute video or something like that, that's okay if you can hook them and get them interested. And certainly long form videos work really well. But if they don't stay, right, it's like on a bell curve. Do you have all the important information? Do you have that kind of elevator pitch on the front end? And you can see that from how much people are watching on Facebook to know what is being retained and what's being communicated. So again, these data points you're not going to get from a billboard or a magazine, right? A traditional magazine. You put out a big article piece, you don't know how much of they read of it, right? Do they just read the title? Do they read the first paragraph? You don't know any of that stuff unless you get that data or those analytics online. And that's why digital marketing is absolutely so powerful, because you can make adjustments based on how people are interacting with your content. And that's amazing. So,
yeah, no. And in the direct marketing, direct response marketing space, they talk about leaders and how you can have multiple leaders. Like, what is for this copy, for this video, maybe you just need to change the first 5 to 10 seconds so that it gets them engaged enough to read the next. So, and the beauty is you can see how one leader performs over another, right there on Facebook.
So copywriting, I've read a bunch of copywriting books like Dan Kennedy, and there's a number of others, but I've read a ton of his books. It's interesting. Most people or copywriters are spending 80% of their time on the headlines.
Yeah.
Right. Cause if you can't hook them and get them interested, then they're not going to read the rest of it.
Doesn't matter.
That's really what what matters the most and where all the attention goes.
All right, so let's break these three objectives down. So with regard to reach, you run this, again, to show your ads to the widest audience as cheaply as possible, as often as possible. What you want to measure is the CPM and impression and the reach volume. The superpower of this is that, unlike the other two upper funnel objectives, you can set the average frequency goal for reach campaigns. So you actually have control of how often people can see an ad. What you want to watch out for is poor engagement and click metrics. These campaigns are designed to be cheap and broad, and you will not see the same amount of clicks or video view completes as you would if you chose another objective. Number two is the brand awareness. You run this to show your ads efficiently to people who are more likely to recall them. Again, you might ask how Facebook knows that. We're going to get into it. And you measure this. You measure by CPM and what's called ad recall lift. The superpower of this campaign is brand awareness is the only campaign objective that gives advertisers access to a unique metric called estimated ad recall lift in terms of people count. It shows how many people Facebook estimates would remember your ad if you asked within 2 days. In this case, you want to watch out for the estimated ad recall lift metrics and its translatability to other platforms. So if you're on Twitter, how do you compare that to Google, Twitter, whatever the other platform, TikTok? In addition to the specialized estimated ad recall lift metric, any Facebook campaign spending at least $30,000 or more over its duration is eligible for a brand survey test. Here's how we find out what they know. This brand survey test is available in the experiments section of your ad accounts ads manager and allows you to ask up to 2 preset questions to help determine the brand lift of your ad campaign. So they'll get back to the users who have been shown your ads and they'll ask you this required question. Do you recall seeing an ad for X business online or on a mobile device in the last 2 days? That's how they figure out that estimated ad recall lift.
YouTube has one of those as well.
Right.
You got to spend, I think, about $20,000 though to run that. But that's very similar. They ask a sequence of questions to see if you recalled it. And it's really good data points. If you have the ad budget to do it, certainly recommend it. So,
yeah. Absolutely. So that's the main question. Do you recall seeing an ad for this business is required? And then you can have a secondary question. It's optional. And here are some examples. There's only 2 questions. Have you heard of this business? How would you describe your overall opinion of this business? How familiar are you with this business? Will you recommend this business? How likely are you to purchase from this business? I think those are all great questions. You just got to choose the ones that are more relevant to the goals that you have. And then finally,
I agree. And then
finally, we've got video views. So you run this to maximize video engagement and drive the lowest cost per 3-second video view. You measure this in cost per thousand or cost per view. The superpower is video view campaigns will optimize to video performance metrics, showing the ad to people more likely to watch them longer and more often. Of course, you got to be careful and you got to look out for video views tend to be more expensive to run comparatively than reach or brand awareness. And if video completion or view counts are not as important to you as impressions or reach, you may want to opt for another option. And then he actually breaks down the performance. This is Sean Johnston, breaks down the Facebook video performance metrics. All campaigns with video have access to special video metrics. So even if you're running the other types of campaigns, right, either the brand awareness or the reach, if it's a video, then you'll have access to this type of data. Through plays, that's the number of times your video plays to completion or for at least 15 seconds. Interesting, kind of implies that your video should be about 15 seconds long. That again goes back to what is the lead in? How strong is it? Cost per through play. So the average cost for each through play, again, video to completion or 15 seconds. Video plays at 100%. So they'll share with you how many of the users got to 100% of the videos. And then the average play time. That's the average amount of time a video was played, including any time spent replaying the video for a single impression. So those are kind of the three types of campaigns, brand awareness campaigns that you might want to run on Facebook. And then he wraps up with retargeting, adding value to brand awareness campaigns. So you can think they didn't know of you. You got this ad in front of them and now they actually visited your website. What do you do with them? And again, Matt and I said at the beginning of this podcast, retargeting is the most efficient dollar spent in marketing. You need to max that out as quickly as you can. And there are some limitations, potentially 100 views to your website. That's on a daily basis, right? Or is it,
they continue to change it, but it's on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
So it's really not a lot, but they try to anonymize it. There were some issues with people abusing it in some different kind of ways. But really, you want to have a consistent amount of people coming to the website, and really the dollar cost to target somebody cold versus targeting an individual or even targeting like a keyword on some other platforms, targeting a person is so cheap, right? Like yeah. that, or that's so cost effective, really. If that's the right kind of person, they have heard of your brand, trying to catch them on the right platform, that is the best use of your dollars, because to convert somebody that doesn't know, like, or trust you or familiar with your brand is going to take a lot more. And that's why companies spend so much on branding. So when there's the opportunity and someone has a need to buy one of their products or services, they're more likely to convert because they've heard of the business, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thankfully, Facebook's wealth of behavioral retargeting options gives you plenty of ways to segment potential would-be customers. So one of them is video views. Create an audience of people who have watched a percentage of your campaign's video. The longer they viewed, the higher their intent could be. And this goes to what you were talking about, Matt, where the farther somebody is away from the point that they have first made contact with your website, your offer has to be stronger. Well, it may also be true that the less time they watch the video, your offer needs to be stronger. And the longer they watch the video, you don't have to make as strong an offer to get them to come back. So those are some criteria that you have access to.
Yeah.
Now, ad post engager. So create an audience of people who have interacted with your ads or posts within a given period. This engagement could signal their interest in learning more and moving down the funnel. And then website visitors. And he says, with a twist, create an audience of people who actually visited your website within a given period. You can be more specific and use the exact landing page. So that's URL and UTM. So what is the ad that got them there, so that your remarketing can be associated with that ad content? Because maybe a different ad had different ad content. And so the retargeting that you might want to use with that UTM would be a different ad content.
I mean, that's so powerful, being able to target based on service. Like if you have service pages and then say, hey, you know, and actually that 100 ties to like what page too, right? So sometimes yeah. you're trying to build an audience and you need to get a certain number of people to that page, but like having a different ad for each service and depending on the services they looked at, showing them only ads for those services, if you offer a lot of them, is a lot more effective than maybe like an evergreen or brand positioning ad. Certainly, I think a pro tip before I forget, for any of those that are still listening to this podcast, almost 30 minutes in, so punch in the face to you, is lookalike audiences, right? You can actually take your customer list and there's also ways to get like hash data to figure out all the uncategorized people that are coming to your website. Cookieless ad retargeting, but you can, there's companies that will work with you to get that data. If you have that pixel on the website or whatever, and then build a lookalike audience, or you can do it from existing customer base or something like that. And then build a lookalike list that's about three times typically bigger than the list that you provide. And then those campaigns are the ones that I've really seen hit the home runs, because you're already narrowing down the target persona of people that are like people that have bought from you before. And the algorithm can really work with that to optimize. And it doesn't have to go through the time to actually figure out what your perfect spending is. And that's really where a lot of these platforms are going, is you have to spend a lot of money and they'll figure out over time who your target market is. If you can shortcut that, you can get it really optimized really quickly, hand it over to the machine learning, and it's super targeted. And these platforms can just provide superhuman results.
Value. Yeah. All right. So in conclusion, brand awareness campaigns are critical to familiarizing your brand to your target audience. Always remember, if you want cheap impressions and the ability to control frequency, go for reach. If you want to deliver to audiences Facebook believes more likely to remember you, choose brand awareness. And if you want to maximize the amount of quality of your video engagement, pick video views. That wraps up our article, Patif to Sean Johnston. Really good stuff. We don't cover Facebook that often. And in reality, you know, SEO in our mind is really, really focused on, yeah, the optimizing content and links. But the reality is if you're running a marketing campaign, an internet marketing campaign, you got to bring in all of these features, and Facebook comes in at a minimum with retargeting. And in this case, you know, more brand awareness to do. And we haven't used kind of the example of harvesting versus actually planting, right? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. There's two things that I would like close on, to address what you're talking about. It's really about your methodology and your outlook of digital marketing, but things like SEO, which we believe in, we've seen the multiplier effect on return on investment. And Google, if there's search volume out there, Google's fantastic for harvesting demand that's already out there. And then you want to harvest what demand's out there first. And if your product or you've already harvested the demand that's out there, which really it's the top five positions on the first page of Google. And every time you move up, even in those top five, there's multiple as far as traffic increases that come back to you. You want to start figuring out, how do you generate the demand? What are the platforms that people are on in that mindset that you may want to engage with? And running some Facebook ads is a great way to let people know if you have. I think in a past podcast, I talked about a mouse wheel, right? Facebook's really good actually at targeting frequent buyers and people that like kind of gimmicky stuff. But there's a lot of really interesting items, you know, that you can get. But I remember there was a cat wheel. So it was a giant like mouse wheel, a cat wheel, and no one's searching for that in Google. But yeah, you show that on Facebook through videos, like we talked about, how awesome it is. You know, my wife bought it.
Love it. It's good for their health. Yeah.
And none of our cats ran on it. Like, they're like, what is that thing? But, you know, that's how you generate the demand, right, for it. And you can use Facebook to do that. I would also say too, again, I do believe SEO should be like your cornerstone strategy, but that does take a while to get going. And depending on where you are in the SEO cycle, maybe even running some Facebook ads early on to start generating that top of the funnel interest and getting people engaged, as well as the remarketing, can support your SEO campaign or your digital marketing campaign. So a lot of these things are tools in the toolkit that all work together. And the more competent you are and leverage these different factors, a lot of times with the amount of information that's being pushed out there, or I don't know what the number is now, how many different ad messages we get hit with a day. How do you cut through that noise? Really, how you cut through that noise is being omnipresent. So being on all these different platforms everywhere, where you're undeniably unavoidable, I guess. I don't know if that's really a term.
Oh, I get undeniably unavoidable.
I really kind of like it, actually. But yeah, so, you know, and you got to hit people a certain frequency for them to remember your ad. So Facebook, again, is a great way to do that. Showing up in the SERPs, great way to do that. But yeah, harvesting demand, generating demand, two different strategies, different tactics, different platforms, et cetera.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, Patif, again, to Sean Johnston, Patif, to you guys and the audience for listening. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure you subscribe, click that notification bell so you get a notification when a new podcast goes up. Also, if you would do that us that small favor and go to ewrdigital.com/review, or just on iTunes. If you're on iTunes, if you're listening on iTunes, you're probably already there. Just click a button, leave a review, and hopefully that review will be it is so much harder to do that when we're not in the same room. So leave us that review. Also, if you're interested in growing your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet,
the internet,
call EWR Digital for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. You can actually get we've called it a profit plan. Is that still what we call it on the Best SEO Podcast?
Yeah, if you go to Best SEO Podcast, we do have profit plans through EWR. We'll do a discovery call. We have workshops. We have audits. We have consulting packages. But if you're a listener of the podcast, we want to help support you in whatever you're trying to do. If you're trying to launch a business, or if you have a business, and we want to give you some quality consulting. And the way we're going to be able to do that is to be able to work with you one-on-one and do that. And we're really just trying to cover time for that experience or that hands-on consulting. So yeah, check that out. I think that we've gotten just rave reviews across the board
every time
with that. And it's always a good starting point to develop a relationship. And a lot of people that we've gone through, we're still, you know, they're part of the community and love what we're doing and support us, and we appreciate you. And so thanks so much.
To go back to the dating analogy, that is a great first date to figure out if it makes sense that we're going to work together. And from first dates, we've gotten married a number of times. We have clients for our longest client is probably right at 8 years. Maybe over 8 years.
Yeah, they're at least 8 years, if not longer. And we have a lot of other like 6-year clients. Like we've gone through these like really like we'll bring on a bunch of clients and then kind of grow and maintain and then grow again. So there's like these tranches of where we brought on a lot of clients. Good news is, guys, we're hiring. So if you have great digital marketing skills, we are fully remote. Please give us a call if you have some hours that you want to contribute. If you're awesome at digital marketing, we want to talk to you. We want to know you. We're constant learners as well. So, and it's not to say that we know everything, but we certainly try to stay abreast of what's going on. And we do have a lot of experience, so we are looking to hire. And if you are if you have a business and you're looking to grow, or you're working in house at a large enterprise, we would love to talk to you. We have a lot of experience in that area. We're doing some really exciting work. We're winning some awards. We think we could probably, we'll tell you if we can't help you too. Like that's something that I think we're really good at is whether you like it or not, we'll tell you based on our experience what we have. And here's the thing. I've been wrong. I'm going to admit it. I've been wrong. That remember there was a guy that came to us that was selling Play-Doh on Shopify reoccurring. And yeah. I did not think that was going to work, but I didn't have enough experience. And then he hired us anyway. We did the marketing and he was up to like $60,000 recurring revenue in a couple months. And it even surprised me how well the marketing worked. So certainly we don't know everything. We want to put that caveat on it, but we have done a lot of campaigns and we can hopefully keep you out of the ditch, and we can provide the breadth of experience that we have to really understand what you're trying to do. A lot of it comes down to really defining who your target persona is, what your customer journey is, really establishing that foundation, doing that digital strategy makes everything a lot more straightforward and simple, because you know if you apply it to this metric or this framework, if it fits or not, or hey, we got to do something different. And when we typically put it through that lens, we can really see, and everything comes together. Everything makes sense. That's another thing. Digital marketing, certainly SEO, a lot of people think it's a black box. it's a, there's algorithms, right? There's the eat guidelines out there. You know, Facebook's using algorithms. It's engineers that designed it. It's straightforward. It's simple. It makes sense. And if people are telling you stuff that you don't understand, that doesn't make sense, you really should question it. You should get a second opinion. We're really good at doing a second opinion. If you're getting analytics that you don't know what it means, or you don't understand the scope of work of like what the client's doing for you, it doesn't hurt to get a second opinion. You're not going to magically throw money at something, don't understand it, and for it to appear and produce results. Like yeah. There should be something logical there. So I would just give that as a tip to anybody out there looking for a digital agency. I think I have a couple articles out there on Forbes and Entrepreneur that go into more detail. Just look for me, Matt Bertram, Bertram, and Forbes or Entrepreneur, and whatever you're looking for, have a bunch of articles out there. Check it out. So I don't know. Great. Hopefully it'll be helpful.
Very good. Well, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now.